Good to have each one of you today. Praise the Lord. I know some of y'all already know this, but you know last Sunday was the first Sunday I've missed in forever.
Yes.
Forever. Wow. But anyway, let me tell you what. You're going to have days that you don't like. And then there's going to be days that you do like. We're all going to go through these trials and tests, I guarantee you. And I will have to say, as I spent the week with the Lord, if I was not spending more time with Jesus, I believe I'd start. I believe I'd start spending more time, you know. So I felt good enough. Last night, I decided I'd heard about the movie about 13 days. 13 hours, I mean, yeah. I was watching TBN the other day as I was recovering. I was watching TBN and I saw three CIA agents on TBN that talked about they were in Benghazi when all of the stuff happened. And so they made a movie, true to life movie about Benghazi. You know, if you don't think we need a change in government, you need to go see that movie. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, we really do have some terrible people in government in America.
Is it in the theaters?
Yeah, it's in the theaters. Yeah, it's showing all over the place. Well, Cheryl and I, it was down at Perkins, but we got there. We thought it was at 5 o'clock and it was at 7:40. So we turned around and came back up to Cinemax over here in Roanoke and it was playing there at 5:30. So, but anyway, yeah, it's in the theaters. I will have to say it is a war movie. And when they say it's RX rated, it's RX rated. You know, don't take your kids. The profanity is terrible. You know, but I hate to say that most, not all, but most military men, that's the way they talk. Yeah. It shouldn't be that way. You know, I was a military man and I didn't talk like that. You don't have to talk like that. It shows you where your morals and where your standards are. But anyway, it's a terrible thing. That's what's going on in America. And I will have to say that after being a military man and being in war and seeing what goes on, and some of you men here may have been in war, that movie was a real firefight. I'm telling you, wow. Nobody wants to experience war. It's the most terrible thing there is. But let me tell you something. It makes no difference if you lose somebody in a battle or if they slip in a bathtub this afternoon and break their neck. If you ain't ready and are not prepared every day of your life to meet Jesus Christ, you better get that way. Because I got news for you. After living 35 years without one single sick day, and then last week having my feet knocked out from under me, where I had to stay home in bed for several days, I just felt lousy. But as I lay there thinking, in fact, I'll tell you something that I did. I haven't done this in a long time. We forget what we have. I got so bad I couldn't even lay down without coughing. You know, there's no way. You know, I mean, finally, after praying and doing everything I knew to do and everything, I finally got to where that in the night I could slide down into bed at an angle about like this instead of sitting up like this. Now, you know, you don't sleep well sitting up like that. But anyway, yeah, for a week. So anyway, then when you finally got to where I could slide down about like this, and I woke up after sleeping a couple of hours like this, I said, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I could sleep laying halfway down. I normally never said that. I took that for granted. waited. The queue? You know, we take God for granted. And he's made us a set of rules in the rule book. He tells us what we should do, how we should thank him, how we should praise him. So let me tell you, I know that there's times that God does these things to us just to get our attention. In other words, it's wonderful when you have lived 35 years without a sick day. Amen. You know, I love it. I love being able to say, Lord, I did what you said. I read your word. I studied your word. And for 35 years, you kept me 100% healthy. I never got sick. I never had a pain. In fact, when we went through, I guess it was my 50th anniversary or 50th reunion at high school, Cheryl went with me. Of course, she didn't know nobody there, but, you know, we went, and one of the girls was sitting right beside me that I was in high school with, and Cheryl was sitting across the table. And she asked me, she says, Thurman, how many places do you hurt? I said, I don't hurt anywhere. She said, come on, get off of it. You know, said, we're all the same age. Said, you know you've got pain somewhere. I said, no, I don't. I don't have any pains. Now, see, I had gone, and this is a couple of years ago when we went to this thing. I had forgotten how to say, thank you, Lord, that I have no pain. I mean, is it easy to forget? I mean, if you go through every day and you feel great, is it easy? Let me kind of put it this way. If the house payment is paid, or your house is paid off, your car payment's paid, or your car's paid off, you got groceries in the cupboard, plenty of them. You don't have to worry about where your next meal's coming from. You've got a good job, or you own your own company or something, and you got money in the bank and money in your pocket. You know, somebody comes along and your wife comes along and says, hey, honey, I need 50 bucks. You say, sure, no problem. Just reach in there and give it to her. But if you reach in there and pull it out and it ain't not one single bill in there, that's not the way you want to live, right? But I've been both places. And I don't like it when I open it up and ain't nothing. I say, I'm sorry, honey, I don't have any. How often should we say thank you when you know you've got $50 in your billfold? All the time. Yeah. You should be thankful because he can take that away. Take that away in a heartbeat. I don't think we praise him enough. God made us a set of rules, a set of instructions. And if we would only read these instructions, I would say once a month, you know, really. Now, somebody say, gosh, that's a lot. But, you know, I'm kind of like that preacher that, you know, this church hired this Baptist preacher and they went and listened to him and, you know, they thought he really done a good job. And so they hired him. Well, that first Sunday when he came in, he preached that same sermon he preached to those people. I mean, exactly the same sermon. Well, they thought, well, that's really good. You know, we liked it a second time. But after about five times preaching the same sermon every Sunday, exactly to the letter, they said, don't you have another one? And he said, oh, yeah, I got lots. I said, why don't you preach one? He said, I will when you start obeying what I said in the first one. But, you know, isn't that the kind of the way we are? We come and hear a message, and of course, I know y'all are just like I am. I used to come to church, didn't understand why or how this happened, but I'd come to church and listen to Dr. Ben Smith preach a good message, and then I'd get up and walk across the street to the chicken place for lunch, and somebody walked in and said, hey, Thurman, how are you doing? I said, I'm great. Where you been? I've been to church. Oh, man, the pastor had a great message today. Wow, what did he preach on? Duh. I don't remember. Now, I know none of y'all ever had that problem besides me, right? We forget there is an enemy. The scripture said that steals that word out of our mind and our heart. So we kind of need to get rid of him, kick him out, and we need to spend time with God. Now, I'll tell you these proverbs that we're going to talk about. We're going to start out with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 13 in the NLT. We're going to do all these proverbs on the NLT. And I want you to look at some of the things, the instructions. You know, there's such great instructions in the book of Proverbs. Sunday before last, we talked about verses 1 through 12, 13. In verse 13 says, think of the great things we'll get. Now, you'll see in a minute, if you don't remember what they were talking about, it says, we'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Is there people out there doing that? I mean, there's people out there. I mean, I as I was watching the news this last week while I'm laying around, I saw a little handicapped child bicycle delivered to a home special for a handicapped child. And there was a guy right after it was delivered run up the sidewalk and stole it and put it in his car and drove off. And it's all on camera. It was all on camera. Well, I don't know whether they found the guy or not. I don't know. But I do know that the people that were there said that, or the people that sent it, since it was a special bike for a special child handicapped, that they were going to make the child another bike and send it to the child. And I thought, wow, you know, isn't this something? Now, there is some good people in the world, right? Amen. And there is some lousy people in the world. But this one here, this guy fits into this verse 13. Think of the great things we'll get. In other words, he stole a bicycle. Great things, huh? With all the stuff we'll take, come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share in the loot. Wow. Do you know people like that? Yeah, I do. I know people. I know people that will steal things. They'll take things from you when they don't even need it. They just steal it because they want to steal. Verse 15 and 16. Let's see what it's going on a little further here. Now, these instructions are coming from the Lord. He says, my child, he's talking to you and me. Don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. In other words, when you find somebody that's the wrong kind of person, lying, stealing, cheating, running around on their mate, doing all the things they do, when God is trying to tell you and me as his children, when we run upon these kind of people, what are we supposed to do? Stay away from them. Yeah. It wouldn't hurt to tell them, hey, you know, you need to straighten your life up. You know, you don't you know that the police would haul you in and you get to go to jail for doing these kind of things? We try to talk to people and tell people about what they're supposed to do. And so many people just won't believe, will they? No, they just won't believe. But the Lord is saying, my child, and of course the era that we're coming into today, I certainly hope that I am wrong about this year, but with what I'm seeing happening in America like I've never seen it happen before in my life, if I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I would be busy about making him the Lord of my life. Because I got a feeling this year may be one of the toughest years that we've ever seen. I think there's going to be more devastation, and I think there's going to be more famine and hunger, everything. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But according to the way things are lining up, it's looking very, very grim. So there's so many of these people out here that are killing each other, robbing from each other, and wow. So the Lord's telling us, don't go along with them. Stay away from their paths. In other words, if you and I stay away from those paths of evil, that does not mean that there will be no devastation or nothing in our paths. You know, we may still undergo tremendous problems in America. You know, I hate to even think that this would happen in America, but it looks like it's coming to pass. So all I can say is be ready, make sure you're serving the Lord, make sure you're putting him first, Make sure that God is in first place in your life and not the worldly things, not the stuff. Because, you know, as Cheryl and I watched that movie last night, I thought about these men over there in Benghazi a couple of years ago. How that night, everything in their world seemed to be going normal that day. And then all of a sudden, a group of wild men got their guns and started coming to that, whatever, that compound where all those men were at. And they just started shooting and killing. You know, I sat there and watched that movie, and as I watched that movie, I think, you know, Lord, that's kind of like it was in Vietnam, you know, same kind of deal. People were killing people everywhere. Several of my good friends, I watched them as they put some of those men in body bags and zipped them up and put them on a C-130 to send them back home. I thought the same thing happened when I was in Vietnam. You know, you hate it. You know, and I'm glad that most of you in here never experienced anything like that. You never had to experience war like that. But it may be coming to our shores here now. And why is it coming to our shores? Because we have so many people that's not reading the Proverbs. They're not putting God first. And so, wow. Verse 17 and 18. If a bird, think about this, a simple little bird. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. Just a bird. You know, if you think, well, I'll catch that bird. There's a bird flying around out here, so I'm going to go out here and I'm going to put me a little deal down here and put me a string on it, and I'm going to put a stick under it, and then I'm going to put some seed in there. And then we're going to get over here behind the bush, and I'm going to hide out, and I'm going to wait for that bird to go under there, and then we'll pull the stick out from under it, and I'm going to let it fall down, and we'll catch me a bird. That bird, you know, is so smart. He may look all around that place. He may land right beside that thing, but he ain't going under there. He ain't going under there. He's smarter than that. He's smarter than you are. A bird. And the Lord even tells us, if a bird sees a trap being set. Now, if that nobody sees the trap set, nobody knows what it is, you know, and you set it at night where the bird can't see you or whatever, and the next day when the birds land, they'll walk right up and walk right underneath that trap. You can pull that stick and you can catch you two or three of them because they didn't see you set the trap. They didn't know it was a trap. But if a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They're trying to get themselves killed. And that's what they're doing. And these people, the people in America that don't read the Proverbs, that don't know the wickedness that they're doing, the bad things that they're doing, the foul language they're using, taking God out of school, you know, committing adultery, killing babies. They don't realize what they're doing. But, you know, that's where it's our job to tell them, right? We are to tell people what they're doing is right. You know, I get so tickled at us. Years ago, I was thinking, well, you know, they'll figure it out themselves someday. It's not my job to tell them. But the more I studied God's Word, the more I realized it is my job to tell them. I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus, supposed to tell them what is going on, and show these people that they're setting an ambush for themselves. They're trying to get themselves killed. And, you know, how many times have we gone and sat down with somebody? I mean, I think about it, since we have a healing ministry here, And I think how many times, and I couldn't even begin to guess. I could probably ask Dave and Jeff both and Cheryl, and they still wouldn't have any idea. How many times have we been to a home and sat down with a man or a woman, or both of them, that's got a sickness of some kind? And we sit there and explain to them what causes their sickness. We show them from God's Word what the Word says about how you've got to stop sinning. If you stop sinning, then we can pray for you or anoint you with oil or lay hands on you. God made all kinds of ways for you to be healed. And how many times, I mean, we've even had this happen with pastors. When we say, this is all you got to do, and God will forgive you and heal you. And they think you're crazy. They don't want to hear it. I think how many times? I think about that time that all of you know about, just here not too long ago, whenever the church from Colorado, they saw me on Sid Roth, and I was talking about, at that time, I had not been sick in 35 years, and I hadn't. And so the man that was in the hospital sick and dying with his wife and the pastor of his church and everything, they all saw me that same day. And so they called me and wanted me to come out there and pray for this guy. And so we did. You know, they sent an airplane, you know, a jet airplane for me and Dave and Cheryl to go to Colorado. And we went out there and we sat down with that couple in the hospital. He had been anointed with oil two times. Now that pastor of that church told me, said, Thurman, I believe in healing. And I said, well, I know you do. I've watched you on television myself. So I know you believe in healing. I've heard you teach. So, but he said, we can't get this man healed. I said, well, there's an issue with sin that we have not found the answer. See, now that's the thing that kicks most people when you start talking about, if you're sick, you got a sin in your life. You know, some kind. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. There is something that God is not pleased with, or he's testing you, whatever. So anyway, as we sat and talked with that couple, all of them there, the Lord began to give us words of knowledge. He gave Cheryl some words of wisdom that there was an adulterous situation here or something. And so we began to research his life and found out that he had been looking at pornography. Now, doesn't everybody know that God doesn't mind if a married man looks at another naked woman? Isn't that okay? Oh, it's not. My goodness, what an old fuddy-duddy God we got here, huh? He's trying to keep us from having fun. He made a set of rules, didn't he? And so we figured out that he had an adulterous lifestyle there because he'd been looking at pornography. Now, he hadn't committed the act, but does the Scripture say that if you do that, you're guilty? See? So anyway, by finding that, and getting him to repent of that sin and getting his wife to forgive him of that sin. Then I told him, I said, you know, y'all use James 5:14-15 two different times to pray over him and anoint him with oil. But I said, he's getting worse instead of better. So I said, now that we've found the sin and he's confessed the sin and his wife has forgiven him, I said, now we'll use verse 16, which says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Is that what it says?
Yes.
So we did that. We took that scripture. We took these things we had learned from reading the Word and put them into action. And the man repented, his wife repented. And then we used verse 16 and prayed the prayer of faith for him. As we left, the man, the pastor, of the church, he told me as we got down to the bottom of the stairs, he said, Thurman, I've never seen anything like this in my life. He said, you and your team are healing technicians. Y'all are not just healing people. You're healing technicians. Well, does God call all of us to do different things?
Yes.
Yes, He does. And He has called us here at this church to be a healing church. And that's primarily what He's called us to be. So by knowing these things, studying these things, spending time with God, He'd given us revelation and wisdom that they didn't have. And so we were able to do what we were supposed to do. And of course, I asked that pastor of that church, I said, you know, I know you're a busy man. You're a big pastor. You got a big church out here. And I said, but I would like to know what happens to this man. So I said, would you give me your cell phone number so I can call you next week? And I said, I promise I won't bug you. I just, that one time I want to call and see what happened. He said, no problem. Well, the next week we called, I called him one morning about 9 o'clock. I said, hey brother, how is our man out there in Colorado's in the hospital? He said, he went home from the hospital this morning, healed. I said, wow. So, yeah. Dave told me that he saw this pastor on a TV show later and or somewhere, and he said he was talking about pornography. He says, pornography is a killer. Get rid of it. He didn't give no details, but if a man of God tells you pornography is a killer and you need to get rid of it, what do you need to do? You need to get rid of it. That's exactly right. There's a reason he said that. He didn't go into great detail. But, wow. Verse 19 and 20. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Do you know anybody greedy for money? I'm telling you, most people are greedy for money. You know, do you know, most people have less money than they would like to have. Is that true? Almost everybody I know would like to have more money. You know, but just like the scripture says, it robs them of life. You really don't have to have $1 million to be happy. You don't even have to have $100,000 to be happy. You can do lots of things on just $50. You know, we can have lots of fun in life. You don't have to struggle and stress yourself out to try to make all this money. Because if you'll do what God says, He'll bless you. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. In other words, I need more money. Lord, I need more money. It robs them of life. So, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. Verse 21. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long? This is what she's crying out. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mockings? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Just think. Wisdom is crying out all up and down the streets. I have your answer to life. Wisdom, 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 wisdom. But we insist on being simple-minded and being a mocker. We relish your mockings. How long will you fools hate knowledge? You know, I had a simple thing happen the other day, but it's amazing how that, you know, we talk here a lot about being led by the Spirit of God. Scripture talks about it, doesn't it? Be led by the Spirit. Well, I got so tickled. Ben, he come in, he said, Pastor, I'm putting that fence up for you back here to keep the cows out. And he says, that gate that we had to put up there, do you have any idea where those hinges and everything are for that gate? I said, well, Ben, the last time we put those gates up, they were down here at the lot. He said, yeah, that's right. That's where we did it. I said, so if I was going to look for them, I'd go down there and I would look inside that little house, that little shed, or in the trailer. I said, that's probably where we left all the parts. So he said, okay, that sounds like a good place to start. So he went down there. Now we didn't pray. You know, we didn't pray. So he goes down there and he looks all through that little house and all through that trailer. And a half hour or so later, he comes back and said, Pastor, they ain't there. I said, well, Ben, let's ask the Lord where they are. Are we supposed to be led by the Spirit?
Yes.
So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, show me where those hinges are. Thank you, Lord. It's done. So we're sitting there talking, and he's standing behind in front of my desk, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm just looking up at him, talking to him. And all of a sudden, I said, Ben, I said, the Lord just flashed a vision in front of my eyes. He said, what do you mean? I said, did we just ask him where those hinges were? He said, yes. I said, he just showed me that they're out there in the back of the barn between the two tractors. There's a three-tier shelf, and they're laying on the center shelf in that barn. He said, well, I'll run out there and check it out right quick. He ran out there and come back and said, Pastor, they're laying right exactly where you said they were, right on that shelf. Now then, why do we fuss and fight and struggle and do all kinds of stuff and fail to ask God? You know, so that's the way I used to do things. You know, I used to do things of just working and looking and trying to remember where I put things until finally one day I realized I learned all this reading the book of Proverbs. I can ask God and he'll show me great things. Isn't that something? That's like one day I was down in Houston. We were building some stuff and the young boy down there, good Christian boy, about 30 years old. He worked for me down there. And we needed some kind of a tool. I forgot what it was now, but I told him, I says, we got one of those tools in the shop. He said, we sure do. I said, okay, go get it and bring it up here and we'll put this together. He said, okay. He was gone a good half hour. And when he finally got back, I said, wow, what took you so long? He said, well, I couldn't find it. He said, I couldn't find that tool nowhere. I know I've got one. But he said, I don't know what I've done with it. I said, Mark, I want you to go back down there and walk right out into the middle of the shop. And I want you to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I want you to show me where that tool's at. And then I want you to point your finger right toward the wall. And then I want you to start turning real slow. And I said, when you get a check in your spirit, I want you to go over there and get it. It'll be right there. Did the Lord say we could ask for anything?
Yes.
He wasn't gone 5 minutes. He come back with that in his hand. He said, this is one lesson I'll never forget. He said, it didn't take no time to find that. He said, I could not remember where that was, but said, not when I did what you said and asked the Lord. He said, I'm going around the room and there, all of a sudden, something just checked. And I run over there right quick and opened the door and right behind that door, there was that tool. Wow. Wisdom. It's calling to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gates. Is this wisdom still doing this today?
Yes.
It's crying out. I'm here to help you, but you must ask. Ask. I am God. I'm your creator. I love you. I want to help you. I want to give you wisdom and understanding, but you must cry out. Wow. Isn't that something? That all that is available to us for everything. I mean, anything we need, it's there. He wrote the book and he gave us all these wonderful things. How long are you going to insist on being simple-minded? Because, you know, when you try to do it on your own, you're simple-minded, right? When you ask God, he's there to give you whatever you need. I mean, wow. I can imagine that if I were to ask the question, probably out of this group that's here today, every one of you has had at least one or two experiences with God like this. Have you not?
Yes.
Yeah, see? So ask. Don't hesitate. I mean, wisdom is crying out. When Cheryl asked, you see, it doesn't have to be about finding a piece of equipment or a tool. It can be needing something. In fact, I remember Andy over in the other church in Dallas, a computer programmer like Dave. I was teaching a series like this from Proverbs one time over there. He said, I never thought about asking God to help me fix a software program. But he said, after I heard you teach that, he said, I was working on a problem and it wouldn't work. And he said, I'd worked on it for hours, couldn't make it work. And I thought, you know what, Lord, that was your word that Thurman was teaching. So Lord, I ask you to show me what's wrong with this software package. What did I do wrong? If you're writing software, I mean, all you got to do is hit one little key in the wrong place and it won't work. Just one little key. So he said, Lord, thank you for showing me how to fix this. He said it wasn't 5 minutes till I had found that problem and had that thing working perfect. He'd been working on it all day. Oh, you simple-minded people. Can't you just hear the Lord telling that to us?
Yes.
Oh, you bunch of simple-minded people. How long are you going to be simple-minded? Wisdom's crying out. All you need to do is say, Lord, I need help. And I'll help you. Will he not?
Yes,
yes he will. Wow. Next two verses. Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I believe I'd like to have God's wisdom, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I believe I will. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. Just think of the times God has called us, and he wants to help us, but we haven't got time to mess with him. We can do this all by ourselves. I think about the time, and I've told some of you, when Cheryl and I was coming in from GLC making those TV shows, when we were flying to Seneca, and it started raining, and my GPS failed. And so we let down till we could see the ground at about 1,000 feet. And once we flew across an area over close to the airport that I knew where I was, I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I got it. I got it now. Thank you for getting me here, but I got it. So we made a turn, come around, lined up on the runway, and made an approach. And you hit on a Seneca, you're supposed to touch down about 80. So I touched down at 80 with it raining and everything else. And just as I hit the runway, the airplane just turned 90 degrees to the side at 80 miles an hour. That causes you to kind of tense. And I said, Lord, I screamed out again, Lord, I don't have it. I need some help. I didn't want to be a simple-minded one anymore and crash the airplane. I'd much rather be a man of wisdom and call on God, hadn't you? And as soon as I called on the Lord, he straightened that airplane right up. I mean, perfect. And we rolled out and taxied it up to the hangar and put it away. And I thought, Lord, help me to never say, I have it. You know, never. Not even after I stop, but I get stopped and get in the car. Do I still have it? No, he still wants to help me get to the house, right? Then he wants to help me get in the house. How much of your life does he want to be involved in? That's absolutely right. He wants to be involved in all of your life. Yeah. He said, I called you so often, but you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. Wow. I hope that's not us, right? We don't want to be like that. 25 and 26. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, are we in trouble?
Yes.
Yes, because we turned him down, because we said, Lord, I don't need your help. I have it. I can do it all by myself. I don't need you. You ignored my advice and you rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. Why? Do you want to be there with God?
No.
Oh, I guarantee I don't either. I want to praise Him and thank Him and worship Him for everything. Verse 27 and 28. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone. You know, I thought about that as I was reading this earlier. I thought about the people over in Dallas. I mean, you know, that you, when disaster comes up on you like a cyclone, that's what hit them, wasn't it? Wow. You know, you just, you know, when you hear somebody that tells a story, like they will say, you know, my house was over there. And in fact, one of the couples here a few years ago that go to church here, their house was destroyed and totally destroyed in a storm. And when they come back to church, I said, you know, brother, I said, I didn't know your house was in that area. I would have prayed. He said, well, I'm glad you didn't know it was there. I said, why? He said, because our house was old and needed lots of things, and said we had good insurance, so they're going to build us a brand new house at no cost. Okay. So, you know, you don't know all the story, do you? So, you know, there, if I had prayed and the Lord had taken care of their house, they'd have still had their old house. But the way it worked out due to the storm and the way the insurance was, that the Lord destroyed their house. I mean, it was totally destroyed. But He said, we're going to get a brand new one at no cost to us. The insurance is going to pay for 100% our new house. So I thought, well, God can do anything, can He not? So when you cry for help, I will not answer. I don't want to be that way with God. Do you? I've kind of felt that way a little bit last week. You know, when I'm crying out thinking, okay, Lord, now Cheryl has laid hands on me and prayed for me, kicked this devil of hell out of me. I mean, she's pounded me on the back, kicking this devil out of me and all kinds of good stuff, but it still didn't go away. You know, I mean, I still felt kind of lousy, and I thought, wow, I don't know what God's doing here. But then after a while, I began to just thank Him and praise Him. I said, Lord, I know You know what You're doing. I'm just going to praise You for everything because I know You know what You're doing. You know, so somehow, some way, You're in total control, and I know You're in control. So, and of course, you know, by getting down and not having any sick days and no sick time at all for the last 35 years, when my son found out I was having problems, he come over every afternoon and visit me for a little while, you know. So, praise the Lord, that was good. I got to sit and talk with my son a while, you know, whenever Dad was okay and he didn't need nothing. Well, Tim's busy doing something else. But at least he come by and spent 15 or 20 minutes talking with me. So I enjoyed that. So everything has some good parts, right? Yeah. Wow. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. You know, that's not going to be the case for us. You know, as we seek God and see what He has and see what He's doing, He's going to show up for us. Verse 29, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. This is kind of sad, isn't it? You know, there is multitudes of people today that they won't go to church. They won't do what God says. They won't read His word. And if they read it, they don't believe it's real. You know, so there's some people in the world, and I've talked to several of them in my life, and when you read the Bible, when you actually read the Bible, and you tell them, you know, this is God's word. This means what it says. Almost nobody believes the Bible today. You know, I mean, we got this book of awesome promises. And do we believe it? We say we do, but do we? You know, if we really, let's think about this. When we, this book of Proverbs that we're reading right here it says, these people that hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. I wonder what percentage of people that is today in America. What number do you think it would be? Just, would it be a lot? It'd be a lot of people that, you know, they don't believe this book is God's word, and they don't believe he'll do what he says. And, you know, just like the other day when I was talking with a man and I was telling him some of the things that God has done here. He was here too close to the church. And so when he asked me, he said, was I the pastor of the church? And I said, yes. And so I told him, I said, you know, we have a healing ministry. We get to see God do a lot of wonderful things. And he says, like what? I said, let me tell you about this little girl, about Jenna. And I told him the story of Jenna, and he said, that's unbelievable. I said, no, it's not unbelievable. I said, I have pictures of her. He said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no. I said, they were working on a pipeline up here. So I told him, I said, I'll run down to the church and get some pictures and bring them back and let you see them. So I come down here and I went back up there and showed them to him. And boy, when he looked at those, he said, you know, just a minute, let me call my friend over here. He hollered at a guy, come over here. So he come down there and he looked at that and he says, tell him that story. I said, okay. So I told him the story and I showed him the picture of the little girl when she was all terrible. And then after repenting of sin, I showed him the picture after we prayed for Jenna. And this is what this young man said. He said, that's my Jesus. I said, so you believe God can do things like this? He said, absolutely. He said, you know, my grandmother was dying and we all went in and we laid hands on her and prayed for her and said she got up out of the hospital and walked off. He said, I guarantee I believe God heals. I've seen him heal. So then guess what this did to the other guy? He said, so what you two meant, now I got two of y'all that believe that God heals. He said, okay, so I have four sons or four daughters and one son. And he said, I don't take them to church very often. It might be a good idea from what y'all are telling me if I were to take my wife and kids and go to church more often, huh? Yeah. I said, I really think that would be wise. I said, do you read the Bible to your wife and children? No. He said, you know, but after listening to you guys talk, it probably would be a good idea if I started. Whenever you take men, two men like me and this guy, that was showing a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, and then we tell a man that's not a very good Christian, if he's got kids and he wants them to be healthy, he needs to go to church, he needs to tithe, he needs to put God first. That man has a tendency to listen to two men like me and this other man. I mean, I don't think this one man had ever heard of a healing testimony or whatever, but when I told him that one and he had a problem with it, but whenever his buddy, which they've been building pipelines together for a long time, and he knows him well, but they never talked about church. But with me, if you're going to be around me a few minutes, guess what? We're going to talk about the Lord, right? Yeah, so we're going to talk about Jesus. Is that what God sent each one of us to do? Yes. If you're a child of God and you're out there, you should not come in contact with anybody very long that you're not talking to them about your Savior and about some of the wonderful things you've seen him do, because he is a mighty God. So technically speaking, whenever we call on God's promises, who is the healer? It's Jesus Christ. It's not you and me. You know, so we need to get over this thing about if I pray for somebody and they die, it's my fault. No. God's the healer, not me. I couldn't heal a fly. You can't either. But you can change people's mind and heart by quoting them the Word of God and showing them the promises of God. And if you show them the promises of God and they start walking in obedience to God's Word, when people start believing God's Word starts working for them.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It does. And what if you don't have that, you don't have that knowledge in your heart? What if you've never been, say you've been to a Baptist church all your life, like I had been, never heard about healing or deliverance or none of those things at all. Do you think I ever saw any miracles?
No,
none, never. Because I didn't believe. I didn't know what the promises were. I didn't know how to stand on the promises. But when I started seeing these things and started standing on these things, in fact, I don't remember how long it took, but I think Tony, didn't you hurt your shoulder or something one time? And it's after he'd been coming to church here for a long time. So I believe, if I tell the story wrong, Tony can correct me. But I think that he had enough faith and had heard the Word enough that he just thought, well, instead of going to a doctor, I'm just going to trust God for my healing of my shoulder. Wasn't that right? Something like that? And it just, you started and started standing on the Word, and it wasn't long till all your pain went away and you got completely healed and that thing never gave you any more trouble. Is that right? You see, now if he'd have been like most of us, not here, but most Christians had never heard the healing promises of God, it would have been impossible for Tony to have stood on those promises because you didn't know them, did you, Tony? But once you learn them and you stand on them and they work for you, then, hey, you're good to go from now on. Something else goes wrong in your life, you know God's there. He's calling out in the streets for you, is he not?
Yes.
He don't want you to be simple-minded and do it just the doctor's way. He wants you to come through him. And when you come through him, wow. They rejected my advice and they paid no attention when I corrected them. Wow. You know, just think. Just like Dave and I was talking the other day about problems like I'm having here, and he's had problems like that too. And this was Dave's advice to me. At least, Pastor, if he's correcting you, that means he still loves you. Because the Scripture says God corrects those he loves. So if you're not getting his tail busting once in a while, maybe he don't love you no more. And that is true, is it not? So, but if we are his children, if you have children and you love those children and those children disobey you, will you correct those children?
Yes.
Yes. If you don't love those children, you will not correct those children. You'll let them do their own thing. So praise the Lord. Wow. Next verse. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. Now, I don't like that. Do you? But I didn't write the book, did you? You know, if you don't cry out, you don't call upon the Lord, or if you don't do what he says, and then you do call upon him, and he does not hear you, doesn't answer you, he says that if you do not call upon him and you do not do what he says whenever he corrects you, he said, therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. Now, we wonder why some people, we can't get them healed. Wonder why. You reckon that some of us have been bitter toward God and maybe to others, and we're not going to obey him. We're not going to do what he says. And I'm not going to believe you, Lord. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Do you know people like that?
Yes.
Yes, I do too. I'm very familiar with a few, you know, that wants to do it their own way. I've been there. I've done it myself. It probably, if the truth was known, every one of us in here probably But because of his mercy and grace, we've called and repented, and he's forgiven us. Wow. For simpletons turn away from me to death. That really bites, doesn't it? Simpletons turn away from me to death, to die. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. Fools. Wow. Let me ask you a question. If these people turn away to death, how many people are going to die? All of us. Some of us may live a little longer than others, but how many of us are going to die? Every one of us. There's not one single one of us. You might as well put it in your little hat right now. You better serve God and do what he says, because it makes no difference whether you're the good guy or the bad guy, whether you're the man that calls out for wisdom, whether you're the simpleton or whatever you are. I don't care who you are, the day's coming when your life is going to be over. It is appointed unto man once to die. Now, if we serve God, love him, put him first, and do everything he says, can we have a great life between here and death? Yes we can. I mean, he will bless us. He will help us. He'll show us great and mighty things, just like that deal I told you about a while ago when the Lord showed me about those hinges out there in that tray. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing that God can do that so simple? You know, I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes after I asked the Lord to show us where those were that I saw that little, like a vision. I saw that flash before my eyes. There was the two tractors sitting out there in the barn, end to end, and there's a shelf right between them. And on the center shelf, there they sat in a package right there. I just saw that quick. And I told Ben, so he ran out there and looked, and sure enough, it was there. I like to do things that way, don't you? I like to have God help me out in life. He's really a great and mighty God. But the people that won't, therefore they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death, but fools are destroyed by their own complacency. Verse 33. But all who listen, now I like this one, don't you? But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. So if the world falls to pieces, and I think it's going to, I think we're on the way. Do we have anything to worry about? No. We don't have a thing to worry about. God is going to take care of us. He's going to bless us because we are his children. We're going to be seeking him. We're going to be reading his word. We're going to be studying his word. We're going to be talking to him. We're going to be asking him to show us good things, asking him to keep us in a state of peace and prosperity. And just think, when we go back and read Psalms 91, it says, you shall see 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But it will not come near you. Is that what he said?
Yes.
But what do we have to do to make that work? What is the requirement? Abiding in the secret place, right? Abiding in the secret place. The secret place is abiding in the Word of God, right? Yeah, abiding in God's secret place. If you will dwell with him in the secret place, he will keep that all, that death and destruction away from your house until you have lived your life. Just like, that was amazing. That story I told you all ago about that woman I was in high school with, that was sitting right beside me there at the reunion. When she asked me how many pains I had and all, how many medications was I on and all this stuff, I told her none. I didn't have any medication. I was on no pain. had no pains or nothing, and had not been sick in all those years, over 30 years at the time. She thought I was telling her a story. She just said, Thurman, you can't have not had any pains or not been to a doctor in 30 years. I said, I haven't. She said, how in the world do you do that? And I said, well, I read God's word and I believe it. Oh, she said, you don't mean you go by the Bible. She said, you know, that's just an old book. Why do you think she has so many pains? Because she believes it's just an old book. There's one difference between me and her. I hadn't been sick. I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. I believe it means exactly what it says. You remember that day, honey, when she said that? I said, Thurman, those are stories in the Bible. You know, they're not all those real. Some of those are just stories. I said, no, the Word of God, every word in God's Word is true. Do we believe that? How do you think, how do we get people healed here? The Word. What did God send to heal you? His Word, yeah. So if I don't believe His Word is real, if I believe it's just a bunch of fables or something, or a bunch of stories, who am I going to get healed with that?
Nobody.
But if I believe God's Word, it's His Word. Just like I said a while ago, when I think about this, when the Lord showed us what He will do for us, I want to take you just before we leave we'll leave the book of Proverbs here at chapter 1. And I want to go to James 5, 14 and 15 and 16. And I want you to read that as a healing church. I want you to stop and think about that. Look, just now, really technically speaking, when I say I have a real problem believing that we believe this book is God's Word, because look what it says. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will make the sick, will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Verse 16. So confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now let me ask you this question. If we all in this church building right here, if every one of us literally believed those three verses, just three. If we believe that, I should be able to go on television, radio, and say, if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're sick, come to the Living Savior Church next week, any day you want to, and I'll have people out there that work with us in the ministry. We will pray for you, and I guarantee you on God's Word, you will get well. Should we be able to do that?
Amen.
We do that all the time. I have preached that on television for 10 years. Come and we'll pray for you. I guarantee you Jesus will heal you. I've had so many people say, I love it when you say, I guarantee. But then when they come out here and they come to a healing school and they come right up here and some of y'all come up here with me and you anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith for them, I say, well, do you believe you're healed? I sure hope so. Ain't that what they do, Mike? Yeah. Well, I heard you on television say that, and I heard you make that promise. But I got an appointment with the doctor on Tuesday, so I thought since I live in West Texas, I'd drive here on Sunday and go to church here and let y'all pray for me and see what God does between now and Tuesday when I have my appointment with the doctor.
Oh, well,
Did we believe?
No.
No, we didn't believe. No, not at all. We didn't believe. Just think. We believe this book is not the true, inerrant Word of God. Is that true? Can't be nothing else, can it, Jack? If we really believe this book is God's Word, then when we pray, for whatever it is, all we got to do is believe and start praising Him and thanking Him for the answer, right, Jack?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's wrong with us? So what's wrong with us? Do we need to say, Lord, we need help with our unbelief?
Yes.
I just stand in awe. Technically, you know, as I'm laying there, and I guess maybe becoming dangerous, as I'm laying there thinking and meditating on God's Word, I'm thinking, God, here I am. I'm having troubles. Having trouble coughing and everything else. And Lord, I believe this book's true. I believe it's real. I believe that every time Cheryl comes in and prays for me, I am healed. I believe I'm healed. It's done. Now then, why am I not healed? But I am healed. You know, it's just like Jack. You know, whenever we prayed for him and his tumor on his hand, next Sunday when he came in, I said, well, how's the tumor? He said, I'm healed. It's gone. I said, well, let me see your hand. He held his hand out, and I said, Jack, you're lying. It's still there. He said, no, you told me I had to see it gone now. So for 10 months, that's what that man told me every time I saw him. 10 months. Every time I saw him, I said, how's your tumor? He said, it's gone. I'm healed. It's gone. Finally, one day, 10 months later, I said, kind of casual. Now it's getting to be a casual thing, you know. I said, Jack, how's your hand? He said, oh, it's gone. I said, let me see it. And he held it. I said, glory to God, it really is gone. He said, why are you so ecstatic? I've been telling you for 10 months, it's gone. Now, which one of us really believed? Yeah, Jack. I didn't believe it until I saw it. But he believed it when I prayed. Do you think that could be the problem with all of us? We don't believe, do we? So what are we going to do to get over this? How are we going to believe this book is God's Word? How are we going to learn to stand on these promises? It doesn't make any difference what happens. You know, I'm telling you, anytime something doesn't work, we have been trained microwave technology. Be healed in the name of Jesus. It is written. Take it off and your hands still don't work. And you say, I don't understand why it didn't work. It did work. It can't fail. It can't not work, can it, Jack? But the further we go, the further we get away from it, and the more it don't work. Because we don't give God the time. That's like Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Let's look at that right quick. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Yeah, Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. So do not throw away this confidence in the Lord and His Word. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need. Is that what we need? Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. I woke up the other morning with a dream. It was kind of a strange dream. I'm just going to tell you one little bitty piece of it. And as the Lord was working on my heart, it's like I was wake up having a dream that I was telling people, if you want to be healed, come to our church. We will pray for you and guarantee you, you will get healed. But I've been doing that for 15 years. I've been preaching that, teaching that, speaking, and many, many people have got to the point where they love to hear, you guarantee God's word works. But if you don't guarantee it, it ain't gonna work. But anyway, I was thinking about that, and the Lord showed me, you know, you need to tell everybody that comes out to get prayed for. Now, this is totally, you know, in a dream. When you tell the people to come forward, to come out and be prayed for, and their children, tell them they must repent for their sin. That's why their children are sick. Now, we all know that here. We know that God, you know, makes children sick because of sin for the parents. Now, you can get thrown out of some fine churches by making that statement. But it's true. I can prove it from God's word, and y'all know I can. And you know the children we've seen get healed. But the Lord, in that dream, he told me, he said, tell the people they must repent for their children and for their sins, so their children can be healed. And then you must tell them they must get back in church. They must start tithing. They must start walking in love. And they must do everything I said in my word. And I'm going to give them 6 months. And if they don't meet all my requirements in 6 months, every parent with a child will die. I thought, wow. You reckon he might be serious about this? You reckon, is this dream a unique dream that God's given me, or is he fixing to do something? Is he trying to tell the people, you need to be in church? Is he really telling us that?
Yes.
If you're not in church, you need to be in church, right? And if you're not tithing, you need to be tithing. If you're not giving, you need to be giving. If you're not walking in love, you need to be walking in love. Is that what he says? Are these rules that I've been quoting come right out of God's word? I'm not adding anything to it, am I? Did God clearly say that if you do not tithe, I will curse you with a curse? That ought to scare the socks off of us. You know that? If I'm not giving God my tithe, I ought to think, my lands, Lord, don't let me get out the door. I might be like Ananias and Sapphira. You know, I mean, it did say that after Ananias and Sapphira both died in church the same day, within 3 hours of each other, it did say that when she died, that great fear fell upon the church. When people say, you know, God's a God of love, he would never do such a thing like that. He did, didn't he? If God did it once, will he do it again? Don't put him to the test. We better be glad he's a loving, sweet, wonderful God, right? Because did he say that if you'll obey me and do what I say, and if we go into these Proverbs deeper, we're going to find this. If you obey me and do what I say, I'm going to bless everything you put your hands to. You're going to have plenty. You're not be in poverty, but your barns will be full. Your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, do we like that?
Yes.
Oh. But there's a requirement to do that, isn't there? So, wow. I don't know what's coming, but I know God's doing something, and he's preparing us for it. But I do know that those of us that obey him and do what he says, he's going to bless our socks off. Even if it cost us our physical life, when that's the ultimate graduation gift. If you're a son or daughter of God, when it comes time for you to go home, hey, that's going to be the ultimate. That's going to be the ultimate. Woo! Step over on the other side with the master. I can't think of anything better than that. But in the meantime, he's got a chore for us. And we're going to serve him and love him and worship him. Are we not?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these book of Proverbs. All the things you put in there and what you're telling us to do. And Lord, work on our hearts to read that book of Proverbs on a regular basis. Let us listen to your word, you know, Lord, and let us obey your word. And do great things. And Lord, thank you for being the mighty God you are, and thank you for being the merciful God. You are such a merciful, awesome God that you love us, and you're, oh Lord, how wonderful you are. Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing everybody. Thank you for making me feel better every day. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that this week will even be better. And Lord, we're going to see you do great and wonderful things. And we praise you and thank you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.